A reading from the second letter of Paul to the Corinthians. We beseech you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Working together with him, then, we entreat you not to accept the grace of God in vain. For he says, at the acceptable time, I have listened to you and helped you on the day of salvation. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. This is the word of the Lord. In the season of Lent, Christians take time, special time, and take care, special care, to acknowledge and to reflect upon both their sin and their salvation. Of course, any time is a good time to reflect on sin and salvation, but note well, we take time not simply to think about, to consider, to ponder sin and salvation in the abstract, but our sin and our salvation. If you know me at all, you know that I'm quite happy to talk about sin or salvation or just about anything else in the abstract, but now is not the time for that. Now is time to talk of your sin. Now is time to speak of your salvation. And guided by these words of Paul, engaged by these words of the apostle, we will do those things. For our sake, God made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. You might be accustomed to thinking about God making Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin for our sakes in terms of something like this: that on the cross, God heaped upon him our sin. Or perhaps that on the cross, God regarded Jesus as if he bore all of our sins. But St. Paul, in this letter, just like the gospel writers, are leading us to see something else. And you can see that in the way that Paul talks about himself and his ministry in these opening chapters of 2 Corinthians. To say that Paul's ministry was tough is to understate things. Paul said about it, "It felt that we had received a death sentence." But he talks about himself and his ministry in terms of Jesus Christ. On the one hand, the sufferings and the trouble and the pain that he was bearing was a sharing in Christ's suffering, so that he could say that in his own body, in their bodies, they bore the death of Christ. And on the other hand, the hope that sustained him was the hope of God who raised the dead. And just as Jesus had borne suffering and death but been raised again, so Paul, in his troubles and in his sufferings, those he was enduring for the word that he brought, for the service that he was rendering in the name of Christ Jesus, his hope was also in the very same thing. Just before this, in 2 Corinthians, Paul speaks about himself in terms of Jesus Christ. God was in Christ, he said, reconciling the world to himself. And God had entrusted to him the same mission and the same message. Now, looking back from that, who then is Jesus? But one who occasions sin and one who brings righteousness. And looking at the story of Jesus, looking at all the Gospels, what Jesus did, what Jesus said, did bring upon him scorn, shame, rejection, suffering, death. But God raised him from the dead and vindicated him and his message, proved Jesus to be right and those who opposed him to be wrong. In his resurrection, made those who had not believed in him into sinners. But in his resurrection and his words of peace and forgiveness and grace, made them the righteousness of God. And so, for example, Peter, when he hears Jesus speaking, foretelling of his suffering, death, and resurrection, turns to rebuke Jesus, but Jesus rebukes him in turn. Get behind me, Satan. And Jesus, when he foretells that Peter would reject him, would deny him three times, is proven right. And the disciples who claim that they will be with him and not abandon him, they leave him. And in this way, Jesus becomes sin. He did not sin, but for their sake, he became sin. So that later, he would speak words of forgiveness. So he would announce to them who were locked in the upper room, "Peace be with you." And in that word of grace, sinners would be justified. The unrighteous would be made righteous. The condemned would be saved. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, said Paul, and entrusted to him was the same ministry and the same message and the same life and the same death. But he was sustained also by the same hope. But like I said, we're here not only to talk about sin and about salvation, or about other people's sin and other people's salvation, but to speak of your sin and mine, and your salvation and mine. But just as Jesus once proved to be that which caused people to stumble, that which offended, that which confounded, whether it would be Peter and the disciples, or his mother and his family, so also Jesus does that to us. You can see that, actually, in the way that we often talk about Jesus. Stanley Hauerwas, once in talking about this, observed how Christians tend to use John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." And he said that for so many, this is a universal truth, that God's love for sinners is summed up so neatly and so winsomely that it's available to all. For, as he explained, it is so often understood and so often delivered as that which would show that although we have not been as loving as we ought to be, that we have not been as good as God expects us to be, nevertheless, God would not hold that against us. And all that we need do is believe on the one who came to tell us and to show us that love. But if that's the case, then why did Jesus die? Hauerwas says, if anyone came with that kind of message, you expected him to have quite a following. But Jesus did not end up that way. He was rejected by the leaders of the people. He was abandoned even by his own disciples. He died on a cross outside the city. What happened? It must have been a mistake. Hauerwas says, yes, it was a mistake, but the mistake is ours. The mistake is ours in the way we speak about Jesus Christ. The mistake is ours in the way we speak about God's love. The mistake is ours in the way we testify about how God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. But in another way, in a strange and yet wonderful way, this is not a mistake, but the work of God. For our sake, for your sake, for your salvation, God made him who knew no sin, his very Son, Jesus Christ, to be sin in your eyes. Not so that God would prove that he is God and you are not, but so that you might hear and believe his word of grace. So that you might become the righteousness of God. And so he not only stands over against us, but he also stands as one who claims us as his own. That's what God was doing for you in your baptism. That is what God does for you by offering Christ's body and blood to eat and to drink. And that's why he sends and gives people like me. For to me also has been given the ministry and message of reconciliation. I stand here in the name of the Lord on Christ's behalf to tell you your sins are forgiven and to beseech you to believe it. He has sent me to tell you you will live and to urge you to put your hope in that. He has sent me to tell you you are reconciled to God. And to appeal to you, be reconciled to God. Now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of your salvation. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.